بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله. إن شاء الله this evening, keeping in line with what we've been dealing with in the past on this Saturday, fiqh classes of what we've dealt with already in the fiqh section of At-Tahara, of purification and of salah, and then of nikah, of marriage, and then today, inshallah, At-Talaq. Before we begin, we'd like to say that of what we said before, that we're going to try with all our level best not to give what the madhab has said, sticking to any madhab, and at the same time not neglecting any of the madhahib, but that we'll try with all our level best, inshallah, to give what we think is the strongest of opinion and that which is closer to the truth. And we'll cite those madhabs that have those opinions if we consider that they're closer to the truth. And what we mean by we don't mean the person who is sitting in front of you speaking right now. We mean those people who have knowledge, who we, the person who's sitting in front of you, have gotten it from. If that makes any sense. Is everybody confused now? Oh, good, because I am. When we want to talk about the talaq, the first thing I think that would be the most appropriate thing to say is that a talaq is mashru', is that it is legal, as opposed to what, and we're going to need an English translation of the Quran, inshallah, as opposed to what some of the people in other religions have burdened themselves with practicing and believing. For instance, the Catholics among the kuffar. The Catholics, to the best of my knowledge, they have made a talaq almost haram. And if someone can tell me that it is haram, let me know. I think they made it close to haram. You can have an annulment, but you can't have a divorce. This is the only one? MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. You guard that, okay? MashaAllah. So the brother is just saying that, yes, you can have an annulment in Catholicism, but you can't have a divorce. If this is the case, then they have made something haram once again, and really there's nothing worse of any sin after kufr and shirk, so it wouldn't make any difference if they made everything else that's halal haram after kufr and shirk. It doesn't make any difference. What else could you do? But this is just another example of what they have made halal haram. There are other religions in which the woman, and in other, for lack of better words, cultures, that the woman can divorce a man. And this is something else we don't find in Islam, contrary to popular belief, that women cannot divorce men. This is not a part of Islam, as we'll come to see, inshallah. Likewise, we find in Islam similar concepts to those people who are on the extreme right and on the extreme left, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made boundaries and has made lines of demarcation that we shouldn't go too far to the right, we shouldn't go too far to the left. That yes, that at-talaq is mashru', is legal, and at some times, it falls into the same categories of a nikah. And for those who remember, for those brothers who like to bring a pencil or a pen and a notebook and write down these things that we suggested a few weeks ago, then you probably can just look at your notes. For those brothers who didn't and sisters bring a notebook and a pen, they left it on the dashboard of their car or whatever, on the train, or just forgot to bring it all together. Are you one of them? Oh, you don't usually come at all. Shame on you. Shouldn't reveal your sins. For those brothers who were here and those sisters who were here, they remember that al-nikah can fall under any one of the five ahkam. Any one of the five ahkam al-taklifiyah, which is wajib under the wujub, haram under tahrim. Marriage can be haram, marriage can be wajib, it can be mustahab under al-nadr, it can be makruh under the karaha, or it can be under the category of al-ibaha, halal, depending upon the circumstances. At-talaq can be just like that. It can be just like that. But to the exception, or on the contrary to al-nikah, al-nikah is general halal. It's general, in general it's halal. As opposed to that, at-talaq is not just considered halal. According to many of the ulama, at-talaq falls under naturally it falls under al-karaha, something that's disliked. Even though there's no explicit text that says that divorce is makruh, or that it's disliked. There's no explicit text that says Allah dislikes divorce, or that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam dislikes divorce. It is understood by the ulama that Islam dislikes divorce. The asl of it, the basis of it, is that it's a dislike thing, even though it's permissible. And this sometimes causes confusion for some people, because some people, some Muslims, think that when something is makruh or is disliked, that or that something that is halal is mubah, that it can't be makruh at the same time. And this is a mistake. There are things that can be permissible but disliked at the same time. And usually that's the case, in many cases, with things that are makruh. They're permissible, but they're disliked. For instance, as we've mentioned in the past, making the second jama'ah in a masjid where there's a resident imam and a resident mu'azzin. Where you have a masjid like this, Masjid al-Muslimin, and you have a resident imam, Imam Qasim Abdullah in this case, and the mu'azzin, I don't know if we have a resident mu'azzin yet, because everybody jumps up and calls the azan. No. At least two or three brothers call the azan, depending upon who's doesn't have a cold or whose voice is the strongest that day. To make a second jama'ah after we just prayed this maghrib in this masjid where there's a resident imam is something that was disliked by the people of the past. But if someone comes and makes another jama'ah, we shouldn't look at them and say you're doing something haram, because it's permissible to do it, even though three of the four imams, they said this is disliked, and the companions before them, they didn't like to do this. So divorce falls into a similar category as this, that it is something that is disliked from the implicit verses of the Quran and from the unauthentic hadith. The unauthentic hadith attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that out of the things that Allah made halal that he hates is at talaq. But this hadith is not authentic. This is an unauthentic hadith in all of its forms. In any narration or variation of narration that it comes, all those hadiths that you find in Abu Dawood and in Tirmidhi and other places that says that the meaning of it is the things that Allah made halal that he hates is divorce. أَبْغَضُ الْحَلَالِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الطَّلَاقِ. The most hated thing to Allah out of the halal is divorce. These hadiths, the chains of these hadiths, none of them are authentic. They should not be attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But once again, the ulama say that this is a dislike thing. As for at-talaq means firaq. Firaq. It means separation. And this is the linguistic meaning. The legal or the religious meaning is firaq al-zawja bil-alfaz غير معينة شرعاً. This is the shari'i meaning, that it is the separation of the wife by expressions which are not stipulated or not, they're undefined or unstipulated, I guess we can say, wording. What we mean by that is mu'ayyana. We mean mu'ayyana bil'urf. That there isn't a specific statement that a man can make to divorce his wife. And remember, once again, and this may sound stupid or silly for me to say this, to reiterate this, but I have to say it because there are some Muslims who think that women can divorce their husbands, either by way of a statement or a khula, of which we'll come to inshallah. And I can see the khula being misunderstood as being a divorce from the wife's part to the husband, but I can't see, as in one case that I've had in the past 13 years, where a sister actually, and the brother went with it. His wife said, "You're divorced." And they actually went through an iddah. More stranger than that would have been the brother went through the iddah and the wife didn't. That would have been even more stranger than her saying, "I divorce you." But anyway, what we mean by mu'ayyinatun bil'urf is that that there's no specified statement in the books of the Sharia that says that the man has to say this statement to divorce his wife. By urf, urf, for those who want to write this down, alif, lam, ayn, ra, fa, fa as in Fatima. But we mean by a stipulated urfi statement, we mean that whatever is customarily understood by the people of that locale to mean your divorce, that's the statement for divorce. Alright? For instance, in Saudi Arabia, if a man said, خَلَّيْتُ زَوْجَتِي خَلَّيْتُ زَوْجَتِي I have separated from my wife. That statement in Saudi Arabia is known to be divorce. Or he can just say, a man can say, anti-taliq. Anti-taliq. You are divorced. Or a man can say, go back to your mother and father. Go back to your parents. In some, for lack of better words, in some cultures, this would mean you're divorced. And if that's understood by the people of that town or that village or that locale, that means divorce, if a man says that, that's a divorce. Here in America, especially among the indigenous Muslims, and more especially among black and Puerto Rican Muslims, we find the expression, and even among white people, you find the expression, he got a pink slip. In America, we know what this means. Maybe in England, or in France, or in Guyana, or someplace like this, maybe you wouldn't know this. You brothers from Guyana, you know what pink slip means? See? For the people who can't see their heads shaking, they're shaking their heads no. All the Guyanese brothers sitting here said no. They don't know what, you know, he got a pink slip means. Now I'm going to ask the black American brothers or the black Trinidadian brothers, what does it mean, brothers, by he got a pink slip? Huh? He was fired. That's what it means. To get a pink slip means your employer fired you. That's commonly known here in this country. So if you said to your wife, I'm giving you a pink slip, to us, that might mean you're divorced. Meaning, you've been relinquished of all your duties and responsibilities as a wife to me, get out of here. That's what it might mean, right? So the statement of talaq is peculiar to the situation, to the urf, to the customs of the people. Whatever is understood, if that statement is understood by that woman, then it's considered a talaq. And it's not pronounced talaq, as the American Muslims pronounce it. Talaq. The brother gave me talaq, brother. I want to see the imam. The brother gave me, you know, talaq to me. Right? No, it's talaq. With a lam, alif. Talaq with a ta. Talaq. Alright? So if the brother does that and she understands it, then it's talaq. It's one talaq. Conversely, the opposite of that is, which is a logical conclusion, if he says it in a phrase that she doesn't understand, for instance, she's from Nigeria. She doesn't understand, like the brothers here from Guyana, or the sisters sitting here from Guyana, or whoever. And she doesn't understand what pink slip means, it's not counted. It has to be understood by that woman. All right? Or, let's say, that she's Pakistani. She's Pakistaniya. And she only understands Urdu. She doesn't understand English. She doesn't understand Arabic or Spanish. And I don't know how to say you're divorced in any other language except for Arabic or English. I don't know Spanish or Urdu. When he does, any Pakistani say, you Pakistani? You're Arabi. Anta Arabi. MashaAllah. Anybody know Urdu here? How do you say you're divorced in Urdu? Anybody know? That's how you say it? That's, la ilaha illallah. Man, that sounds like coughing. Ajeeb. But, however, if she understood it, if she doesn't understand it, then it's not considered a divorce. That's the point we want to make. Alright. According to the ulama, there are two types of divorce, which all the other divorces fall under these two types. There are two types. One is a talaq al-raj'i, alif lam ra jim ain ya al-raj'i, and the other one is a talaq al-ba'in, ba alif lam ba alif lam ba alif hamza and noon al ba'in alif lam ba alif lam ba and then alif, right? Oh, you kept writing alif lam ba alif lam ba alif lam ba. Allah yahdik. Alif lam ba alif hamza noon. The first one, al-raj'i. Al-raj'i with an ayn. Al-raj'i. Al-talaq al-raj'i. All the types of divorce fall into those two categories. Al-raj'i, talaq, is when there's a possibility of the woman coming back after she's been divorced. And I like to make this statement. We made this statement before. I'd like to just clear something up. The word waiting period in Arabic is not idat. This is a commonly misunderstood, commonly mispronounced word by American Muslims. We call the waiting period idat. The sister's in idat. Idat. What does idat mean? You're into Arab. Idat, not bin ayn bin hamz. Idat. Bil alaf. Idat. Me neither. I don't know either. He says he doesn't know. He's an Arab, so now I don't feel so bad. The word is a idda with an ayn. Idda, not idat. We should try to learn how to pronounce these words properly. Because you may meet a sheikh or something, not like me. You may meet a scholar, and you may say, I'm an idat. And he looks at you funny. Now, he may know, what this brother and I don't know what idat means. Idat may mean you're in a well or something, on a, you know, in a sewer hole or something. And the sheikh looks at you, you're an idat, you're in a sewer, get out of that, what are you doing in there then? So the word is iddah. The other thing is that we don't say we put our wives in iddah. The expression among the ulama is that you didn't put your wife in iddah, or my husband put me in iddah. No, he divorced you. The expression is never used in the books of fiqh, I put a person in iddah. No, I divorced her, or he divorced me. You don't say the person was put in iddah. Alright? This is just for clarification. Okay. Al-raj'i is when the woman has the possibility of being returned to her husband. It comes from the verb raja'a, which means to return. So al-raj'i, and some people may call it al-ruj'i, but al-raj'i is when there's a possibility of him taking her back, legally. And al-ba'in means that there's no possibility. It means it's going to be irrevocable. Al-raj'i, it's revocable, meaning she can come back. And al-ba'in is when the man cannot take her back except with some conditions. Alright? So, the first thing is that the person makes a statement that is customarily understood. Oh, and by the way, that's what we wanted to say. It doesn't necessarily have to be with words. It can be written. It can be audio taped. It can be videotaped. It can be faxed. It could be by al-ishara. Ishara meaning he can indicate with his hand. Like this. You can't see it on the tape, of course. But he just says, like this. Right? If he says this in Arabia, can you see my hand, sisters? Can you see my hand? If he does this in Arab countries, you know what that means? Huh? Anybody know what that means? But you know, hand expressions mean something now, you know. We have all different types of hand expressions. Some of them I don't want to use in the masjid. I don't want to use them on the street either because they mean other things that are very nasty and lewd. But if a man does, in Arabia, I don't know if it's in Egypt and other places, but I know in Arabia and in Yemen, if a person does like this, and the first time I saw this, I found it real strange. Because we do this. This among the Arabs means this among the Americans. Means come. When you turn your hand upside down like this and you do like this, it means come. Among the Arabs, this means come. Am I right, brother? Right? He's smiling, you know. He's looking, he got his hand down and saying, oh, we Arabs are really messed up. We do everything upside down and backwards. We read backwards. But it's actually, it's us who do things backwards. Because the Quran was revealed in this language that is read from right to left. Alhamdulillah. Alright, so the first thing is that it can be either by statement or written, or it can be by ishara, by sign. And the second thing is that it falls under two categories, which is raj'i and al-ba'in. Before we go into actually what is going to constitute a divorce, we wanted to mention something of what the Sheikh mentions in one of the books that we've selected, which is the book that we've been using for Tahara and As-Salah and Nikah, which is Al-Munakhalat Al-Nunniyah by Sheikh Murad Shukri from Jordan, Hafizahullah. And it's a very simple book. He mentions, he says here, that there are many types of divorce. And remember, the first two types, all of them fall under that. These are some of the types of divorce. And we don't have time to go into all of them, but these are some of the types of a talaq that he mentioned. And some I'm going to add because some of them he doesn't mention. One type of divorce is a talaq al-hazl. A talaq al-hazl. And some people add to that الطلاق الهزل والمزاح, of which we'll come to. Mizah is the next class, right after this class, when we deal with Al-Adab al-Mufrad from Imam al-Bukhari. When is it permissible? What is not permissible in playing and mizah, when joking? What is not permissible in playing and joking? That's the next chapter on Al-Adab al-Mufrad after this class, inshallah. But one type of divorce is الطلاق الهزل with a ha, not ha, بالها, like the ha that's in the name of Allah. And ashhadu, that ha, the ha at the end of the Arabic alphabet. Al-hazl with a zay and a lam. And mizah. That's the one where the man pronounces divorce jokingly. He was just playing around. He really didn't mean it, but he was joking. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ثَلَاثٌ هَزْلُهُنَّ جِدْ وَجِدُّهُنَّ جِدْ النِّكَاحُ وَالطَّلَاقُ وَالرُّجْعَ أو كما قاله صلى الله عليه وسلم. This hadith is, inshallah, not an authentic hadith that's attributed to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But there are some supporting cast narrations that strengthen the chain of that hadith and make it at least, inshallah, حسن لغيره. Or حَسَنْ لِذَاتِهِ, that brings it up from a da'if. Originally, that hadith, ثَلَاثٌ هَزْلُهُنَّ جِدْ وَجِدُّهُنَّ جِدْ النِّكَاحُ وَالطَّلَاقُ وَالرُّجْعَةُ, there are three things
So we can safely say that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said it because of the shawahid, because of some of the narrations that are supporting it, to bring it up a status, in status, that there are three things he says, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that the joking of it is serious, and the serious of it is serious. The frivolousness of it is serious, and the serious of it is serious. Three things. It is marriage, it is divorce, and revocation. Revocation meaning, rujah, when the man takes his wife out of the iddah. And I'd like to just make this side note. All three of these things are in the hands of the man. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu never ever put in this sharia of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam those three things in the hand of the man, of the woman. Marriage is in the hand of the man, divorce is in the hand of the man, and breaking the iddah, which is revocation, is in the hand of the man. Never in the hand of the woman. Ever. Alright? So that's one type of divorce. Another type of divorce is divorce of sukran. Divorce of sukran. Alif, Lam, Sin, Kaf, Ra, Alif, Noon. Alif, Lam, Sin, Kaf, Ra, Alif, Noon. As-Sukran. This is the divorce of extreme intoxication. Extreme intoxication. And once again, we're not going into details on what's the hukum of them or anything. We're just mentioning some of them. Then we have another one, which the Sheikh doesn't mention. That he does mention. At-talaqul al-mukhti'. The divorce of the one who makes a mistake. And probably half of the brothers in America would say this is the type of divorce that they made. I made a mistake. Alright? Al-Mukhti, which is Alif, Lam, Mim, Kha, Ta, Ya, Hamza. Alif, Lam, Mim, Ta, Ya. Alif, Lam, Mim, Kha, Ta, Ya, Hamza. And one that he doesn't mention is At-talaq al-ghadban. At-talaq al-ghadban, which is alif lam ghain bad ba alif noon. Al-ghadban. This is the one where the man is extremely angry. And once again, we're not going to go into details, inshallah. Okay. As for at-talaq al-raj'i, al-raj'i talaq is when the man has pronounced divorce at the time in which he is able to pronounce divorce. The man is able to pronounce divorce, meaning the woman is in a physiological state of which makes it permissible for him to divorce her, and then he pronounces the divorce, or he writes to her, or faxes to her, or telephones her, or whatever, in a language that she understands. Right? اذهبي إلى أهلك. Go back to your family, or whatever. Alright? In this type of divorce, الرجعي, this is a divorce that is done for the first time or the second time, at a time when the man can do it legally. The time in which the man can do it legally, there is an iddah period, of which we're going to come to, and he's able to remove her, for lack of better words, from that period of iddah, that waiting period. In other words, at-talaq al-raj'i means that it was pronounced properly, at the right time, she was in the right physiological condition, and he can return to his wife. And we know that there are some differences of opinion among the people of Islam, among the people of knowledge, on a lot of different issues in Islam. On a lot of different issues, Muslims, the scholars of Islam, differ. You know, some have, the Hanafis have this, and the Malikis have this, the Shafis have this, they have that. In this issue, if a man is able to come back to his wife, take his wife out of that point of iddah, he's able to make the rujur, return to her. You know, I thought about it, I love you, you know, I'm taking you back. Alright? No one differs on this. لا خلاف فيه. There's no difference whatsoever among any of the madhhabs or any of the ulama of Islam that a man can take his wife back. Nobody differs with this. If someone, I don't know, we don't have a... Let's see if we can find this. There's English translations, especially this one, is going to be kind of cumbersome. I'm sorry that I didn't write these verses down. There's no other mushaf that's a little bit clearer than this one, huh? Because this is this way. Looking for, no one has an English translation other than this one. Because I don't like to be in the habit of translating the Quran. I like to put that responsibility on somebody else. Allah, you better see. Inshallah, this is Surah, appropriately, At-Talaq, Divorce, chapter 65. In the very first ayah of this Surah, Allah says,
يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ إِذَا طَلَّقْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ فَطَلِّقُوهُنَّ لِعِدَّتِهِنَّ وَأَحْصُوا الْعِدَّةِ.
O Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, when you divorce women, divorce them at their iddah, and count, meaning count accurately, their iddah. Count accurately their periods. Count accurately their period. So this is one of the, this ayah, in general, is a proof that the man has the ability to come back to his wife. He divorces his wife. She has an iddah. And this is implicit that he will be able to come back to her. Once the iddah is finished, he won't be able to come to her. As for the times that a man can divorce his wife, the times that a man can divorce his wife are as follows. The first, let's give the times that he can't divorce his wife. A man cannot legally divorce his wife if she is menstruating. If she is menstruating, he cannot divorce his wife. He will not be able to divorce his wife when she is menstruating. The second time is when he has just been intimate with her. And that intimacy is, means within that month. In other words, she had her menses, then she became clean, she made the ghusl, and he was intimate with her, and within that month, it didn't have to be the same day, or 3 days before, or a week before, within that month that she became pure, legally able to have sexual relationships with her husband, any time in that month that he has sex with her, it is illegal, غير مشروع, حرام, لا يجوز له أن يطلقها. It's not permissible for him to pronounce divorce on his wife when he was intimate with her within that month. That's the second time. Not permissible. And there's some wisdom behind this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it illegal for the man to divorce his wife during her period of iddah, during her period of menses, or when he had just been sexually active with her. There's some wisdom. And if you think about it, you can probably think about some of those reasons on your own. The third thing that would be illegal is for him to pronounce divorce on his wife more than once in one sitting, one jalsa. In other words, anti taliq, anti taliq, anti taliq. Or, I'm giving you a pink slip, I'm giving you a pink slip, I'm giving you a pink slip. Or, go back to your mother, go back to your mother, and put your father in there too, go back to your father. To do all of this, to say this three times or more, you're divorced, you're divorced, you're divorced, you're divorced, you're divorced, you're divorced. All at one time, 5,000 times, 10,000 times. To say it more than one time, in one sitting, is haram. As opposed to what some of you may see mentioned on talk shows on TV, or what you may hear in the newspaper, or read in the newspapers, that all a Muslim man has to do is to say, I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you. I don't know how many times when I used to look at TV, alhamdulillah, get the message right, brother, that I used to see this, looking at Jeopardy or something like that, and, you know, whatever the talk show is, and they say that a man, all he has to do is say, you look at Alibaba and the 40 Thieves, and the guy says, I divorce you three times. I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you. This is haram. It's illegal. And this type of divorce is called at-talaq al-bid'i. At-talaq al-bid'i. This is a bid'ah type of divorce. Though it is haram and bid'ah to divorce your wife on a menses. Though it is haram and bid'ah to divorce your wife when you've been sexually active with her. Though it is haram to divorce your wife more than one time in one sitting, it still counts. It still counts as one divorce. It still counts. Even though it's haram. The ulama say it counts. Alright? If he does any of those three things, any one of those three things, it's haram, but it still counts. Alright? Okay, let's go on. Let's go on. Okay, if the man pronounces divorce on his wife, contrary to what, and she immediately begins the iddah, contrary to what Brother Dawood Adib said approximately 2 weeks ago, at the school, that a man can be sexually active with his wife as long as he has a niyyah not to take her back, he cannot do this. The statement of Brother Dawood Adib is incorrect. If a man has sexual intercourse with his wife while she's in the iddah, this is not correct. If he tells her that I don't want you and he has intercourse with you, I want my rights, this is not correct. I'll say it again. It's not permissible for a man, according to the strongest of the opinions, to have sexual intercourse with his wife while she's on her iddah. Imam Malik, radiallahu anhu, says that we're human beings, we have an opinion today, and we change it tomorrow, and the next day we change it after that. Yes. That's my answer. And Imam Malik, compared to me, it's like the black stone compared to one of these rocks out in the street. I'm the rock in the street, of course. Right? Imam Malik is the black stone to me. Now, and I want you brothers and sisters to pass the word that I said that. Pass the word that I said, I made that statement. No, this is the correct, this is the hukum. This is the hukum. It's not an opinion. We don't say it's an opinion. The other one is the correct view. What Dawood Adib said was incorrect. And it's not an opinion. It's not an opinion. Now, we're coming to that. We're coming to that. Those three times in which we stated that a woman cannot be divorced are the only three conditions of which a man can't divorce his wife. Those three cases. What's the first one? Anybody over here on the right hand side? What is the first condition that a man can't divorce his wife? When she's on a menses. What's the middle? Take the second one. Huh? He just had sexual relations with her that past minute, right? Within that month. And the third one? All at once. He can't say more than once, all at once. He can't say, I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you. That's the only three conditions that a man can't divorce his wife. So what does that tell you? He can divorce any other time. So that's the answer to your question. Doesn't make any difference what condition she's in other than those three. He can divorce her. I thought you were asking something else. I thought you were asking, is it permissible for a man to divorce his wife while she's pregnant? That's not what you was asking? Yeah, we mentioned that the only three times a man can't divorce his wife is when she was on a menses, when he's been active with her sexually, and he can't say it more than once at one sitting. Any other time other than that, he can divorce her. But it still counts. It's haram, though. The only legal times that he can divorce her. In other words, if he does it at those three times, he's committed a sin. But it's still valid. He can't willfully, knowingly that you can't divorce your wife on your menses, say, I divorce you. Then there's a double sin. Because now he's willfully disobeying Allah and his messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Most men, when they do it, they don't know this. You follow? Most men, when they divorce their wives, they don't know that they can't divorce her and just divorce her after Asr and before Zohar he was sexually active with her. They don't know that. Most men don't know that. Most men don't know that when his wife, many men don't even know that their wives are on their menses. They don't even know when their wives' menses come. No, seriously. You'd be shocked. Right now, if you were to ask the average brother, which is something that we surely shouldn't get into. Well, let's forget that one. Let's forget that one. Yes. So the time, and to answer the question, if a man's wife is 3 months, 3 weeks pregnant, 2 months pregnant, 8 months pregnant, 6 months pregnant, 9 months pregnant, 10 months, no. He can divorce her. He can divorce her. As long as he doesn't, that third category, he doesn't say, I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you. Even if she's pregnant, which is legal, now he's done what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran. يا أيها الذين آمنوا أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول ولا تبطلوا أعمالكم. Oh, you who believe, obey Allah and obey the Messenger, and don't render your actions vain. Don't make your good deeds fruitless. So now here's a legal time when he can divorce his wife. She's pregnant, and he messes it up by saying it three times. You see, it's haram, it's bid'ah to do that, but it still counts. That's the point we want to make. Now,
since you asked for the sake of the case, if a man pronounces, if he makes talaq al-bid'i, the bid'ah type of divorce, three times in one sitting, you're divorced, you're divorced, you're divorced. It's considered as one. If he pronounces divorce on his wife when she's on a menses, it's counted as one. If he divorced his wife and he's just been sexually active with her within that month, it counts as a divorce. Unless, one divorce. But if this is the third time, now it's going to be batin. It's irrevocable. It's a different situation. You see? It's a different situation. Because after that, there's no more. Right? But for if it's the first time, he's been married 29 years, and for some reason, he says, I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you, which is talaq al-bid'i. It's not permissible to say this, but it's still six. That's counted as one. It doesn't mean because he said, I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you, there's three iddas now, all at once, and it's over, and you can never marry again. No, it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that. Alright? So, have what? You mean all at once? No, this is what we're saying. A man can't pronounce divorce on his wife making the statement more than once. He can't do it. It's haram. He can't say, I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you. That's number one. In addition to that, he's going to compound the sin if he says, I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you, and he's counted as three. You understand what I'm saying? Do you? all at once.
It's impossible. This is impossible. It's impossible for a man to divorce his wife in one sitting irrevocably. Unless she's already had two prior ones. She's had two prior ones before that day that he did it, which necessitates three menstrual cycles of which we're coming to now, and you'll see. Inshallah, let's explain. When a man pronounces divorce on his wife and it's legal, it's not talaq al-bid'i, it's talaq al-sunni. It's the talaq according to the sunnah. She's not on her menses. She's become clean. She's legally eligible for him to have sexual intercourse with her, with him, and he doesn't have sexual intercourse with her. She's not on her menses. Okay, he's taking care of the first condition. He didn't have sexual intercourse with her, which takes care of the second condition. Alright? And the third condition is, now he's ready, he's not going to say it three times, he's going to say it once. You are divorced. Do you understand, Fatima? You read my lips? You understand me? Yes, husband. You are divorced. You call the brothers up, which we're trying to get to, inshallah. You have them witness it. You see this woman here? This is my wife. I'm divorcing you. Alright? Everything there is legal. She goes through a period called a iddah, which is three menstrual cycles, if she's able to have menses. If she's not able to have menses, then she goes through 3 months on the Islamic calendar. Not January, February, March, April. Muharram, Safar, and the other months that come after it. Alright? We're not saying it's haram to use January, February, March. But it's better to use Islam. Instead of using the Gregorian calendar, it's better to use Islam. For a couple of reasons. Number one, those months existed during the time of the Prophet ﷺ. To distinguish ourselves from the kuffar, the Prophet did everything according to the Quran and the Sunnah. Everything that was revealed to him. Those months, the Gregorian calendar existed during the time of the Prophet, and the Romans and the Greeks were right there next to Arabia. Right next door. How come they didn't use January, February, March? How come they didn't use the Persians' calendar? They only use their calendar, the Muslim calendar. Right? That's number one. Number two, the Muslim calendar is more accurate. Because the Muslim calendar has 29 or 30 days. That's it. As opposed to the Gregorian calendar based on the lunar cycle, solar cycle, the sun, you have 28 days in some months, 29 days in some months, 30 days in some months, and 31 days. Right? So there's some benefit. You see? So when the man pronounces the divorce, if she doesn't have a menstrual cycle, she goes through 3 months. If he doesn't take her back with ruj'ah, he doesn't call her back, she goes through all 3 menstrual cycles, or if her case is she has menopause or otherwise, she's too young, like she may not have reached puberty or something like that, and she has 3 months without the menses. Some women may think that's strange now. They're saying that she doesn't have a menses, but how is he married so she didn't reach puberty? Because it's illegal for a man to marry a girl who's not in puberty. It's legal. Alright? Which is another case. We'll come to that later. Right? Anyway, the whole iddah goes through. Alright? She's no longer his wife when that iddah is over. When that last menses of the three comes, or that last month, and if she can't have menses, comes, she's no longer his wife. She has to leave the house. Nothing is due from him to her anymore. To her, not the children, to her. She's divorced. The only way that he can marry again, for that first divorce, because there's 2 more left. The only way he can marry her again is that she marries someone else, is that they have a new contract, a new dowry, and witnesses. She doesn't have to marry someone again. I'm thinking ahead. Right? He marries her again. Right after they get married again, you know something? You're doing the same thing again. I divorce you. Same day. They just had the walima. Right? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So he divorces again. Right? She goes through the 3 menstrual cycles again. Or the 3 months. Okay? It's over again. 3 months later. Or 3 menstrual cycles later. And every woman's menstrual cycle is different. Some are 4 days. Some are 5 days. Some are 6 days. Whatever. Alright? And he marries her again with a new contract, new dowry. And if he's rich, he's really going to get paid. He's got 2 dowries already. Right? And new witnesses. Of course, with the wali, each of those first and second time. He marries her a second time. Something happens again. I divorce you. Right? He goes through the period of iddah out of the house. The first two, she's in the house. Because this last one is called al-ba'in. This is the second type of divorce. At-talaq al-ba'in baynun al-kubra. She is divorced irrevocably. She's no longer in the house. She has to leave the house. And the only way he will be able to get her back again is that she married someone else and consummated it sexually and got a divorce from him, and then she can go back to the other man. You understand that? As for doing it all at once, I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you, and each one of those three go to each one of those three periods? Nah. This is haram. It'll never happen. Not in Islam. Maybe in Judaism, Christianity, whatever. In Islam, this is not legal. Yeah, but if he said, I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you, on the last one, after on the third one, the third time that they've been divorced, it's still illegal because he can't say it three times. It still counts, but there's a penalty that she has to pay. And the penalty that she and he has to pay for pronouncing it three times, or pronouncing it on her menses, or pronouncing it while he's been sexually active with her within that month, is that she has to go through two menstrual cycles, and if he still wants to divorce her, after she goes through the two menstrual cycles, he has to pronounce divorce again, and then she goes through three more menstrual cycles, which is now 5 months, as a penalty, as an atonement. Yeah, I had read this before. I just got this note that Sheikh Ghassan al-Barqawi in Florida, Habibullah, was calling me because I was talking to him today. And I already read this, but I'm just going to share it with you because I had read it already in one of the Sheikh's books, Dr. Abdul Karim al-Zaydan, Habibullah, in his book called Al-Mufassal fi Ahkam al-Mar'a, the book, 12-volume set on the fiqh of women. And I was reading it before I came here, which made me change my opinion on what I just mentioned. Sheikh Hassan just called just moments ago, and the imam just gave me this note. It says that Ibn Hazm, I found in one of the fiqh books, that Ibn Hazm, rahimahullah, of the Zahiri school, says that when a man divorces his wife, he can still have intercourse with her during the iddah. And he says this is not raja'a. This is Ibn Hazm. So now I have to make another correction that this is an opinion. Alright, because I forgot that Ibn Hazm had said this, because I remember that Dawood of the Zahiri school said this, but I forgot that Ibn Hazm had said it, and why should I forget that? Because Ibn Hazm is the premier of the Zahiri school. And Sheikh Hassan ends it by saying the evidence is however against that. So it still stands the same, that it's not permissible for him to do that. Alright, and Allah knows best. Okay, let's get... Yeah, as a penalty, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu divorced his wife at a time he wasn't supposed to divorce her. She was on a menses. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told his father Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu to order your son to take her back, because he pronounced divorce on his daughter-in-law. His son pronounced divorce on his wife, which is Umar's daughter-in-law, at a time when she was on her menses. The Prophet ordered Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu to order his son Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma to take back his wife, because what he did was not permissible. As a penalty, and we have the narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had told him to go back to her, and that she has to have a menses once, and then have another menses twice, and then if he still wanted to divorce her, then he pronounced it correctly, and then she goes through the regular three menstrual cycles. So as the brother said, it becomes five as a penalty. Or if he does this when he was sexually active with the woman, or if he does this saying, I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you, the penalty is the two menstrual cycles. If he still wants to divorce her, he hasn't changed his mind, then, after those two menstrual cycles are over, then he pronounces it correctly, right? After she's clean and he didn't have sex with her, and she goes through three more menstrual cycles. And that's the proof. It uses the proof that it counts because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said he has this latalqa. It still counts it as one because eventually he divorced her.
Right. It's not wajib. It's not wajib to have witnesses present when a man takes her out of the iddah. Only when, right, he has to let them know. The ishad, the witnessing, has to be either the people are standing there or on the phone or something. You have to let them know. Get on the other end, Akhi, Khalid, Mansour, whoever. I want you to hear what I'm saying. My wife is on the other end. I divorced. They don't have to actually be there. No. For the first? No, I don't think so. I think that most of the brothers are pretty clear that once he divorces his wife, at the first time, that she doesn't have to marry somebody else. I don't think brothers understand it that way. No. 3 menstrual cycles. You mean if he does it incorrectly? If he does talaq al-bid'i, it's 2 menstrual cycles as an atonement of the sin. And then if he still doesn't want her, she goes through 3 more menstrual cycles, which is 5, not 9. Right. Right. New marriage, new... Yeah, that's not considered 9, though. It's not considered 9 because that's a whole new marriage. By who? By another man? That's the third divorce, not the first divorce. Right, okay. Right. It's bad now. It's irrevocable. She's not in the house anymore. She leaves the house, but she's no longer his wife. In the first 2 situations, she's what they call like a suspended marriage. In the first situation and the second situation, she's what they call a suspended marriage. She's his wife and she's not his wife. And in that case, that's the reason why he can't have sex with her. Because she's not his wife. Everything else she can do. She cooks for him, she cleans for him, she can uncover. And some of her man say she can't even uncover. She has to screen herself. She has to go in another room, she has to put on hijab and everything. They some take it that far. But the rajih, inshallah, the strongest of opinion is, she stays in the house, he still has a maintainer, he still has to provide for her, and the first and second one we're talking about now. But the only thing that is haram is al-jima', is sexual intercourse. Now, you mean if there's an actual statement that the Prophet said that? No, the ulama derive from this that it's one because why? Because they eventually got a divorce. He didn't take him back. It was telling. He never took him back. It was over. He divorced her again. He pronounced it correctly and he divorced her again. So they counted that as one divorce. And if it wasn't, he took it, there was a second time and then a third time. So they calculate from that, they see from that, that first one was considered as a divorce. And there's a narration where the Prophet ﷺ actually called it a talqa. Well, it was one divorce. He actually called it that. So there's no vagary, inshallah. And there's some people who may differ on this. There's a difference of opinion. Probably because these classes are so spaced out, and I don't mean spaced out in the sense that we use in America, spaced out. I mean there's so much space in between them. I don't know if when we're going to get to it, does a kitabiyya have an iddah? Does a Jew or a Christian woman have an iddah? And to the best of my knowledge, yes. She has an iddah. No. Yeah, you have to do it. The Sharia, a hukum, is not for a specific person. Islam is for everybody. Yes, it counts. That's what we've been saying. It counts. It's haram, but it counts. It's valid. If the man does it in the haram way, which is talaqul bid'i, a bid'ah type of divorce, it's not permissible to do it, but the ulama still say it counts.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the sharia is not for him. The sharia is for all the Muslims.
Right.
No. The penalty is there whether he's going to take it back or not.
That's right.
No, she has to go 2 menstrual cycles. It has nothing to do with him touching her.
Right.
Yeah, of course, because if he has sex with her, then there's another time he can't do it.
I don't understand what you mean.
Of course, because that is a penalty. That's not an iddah. See, the 2 menstrual cycles is not an iddah. It's a penalty, it's a kafara, it's an atonement for the sin of pronouncing it at a time he shouldn't be pronouncing it. It has nothing to do with the iddah. It's a penalty. You follow what we're saying? Don't consider those 2 menses as an iddah. In the lugatan, in the linguistic sense, it's a period of waiting, but it's a penalty.
لا إله إلا الله قول بسم الله اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد اللهم بارك على محمد اللهم رب هذه الدعوة وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد
Okay, what did you say? The last time that he pronounced it. Yeah. There's an iddah for every single woman that was married and divorced. There's an iddah for every single woman that was married and divorced. There's never a time when there's no iddah except for one. When the woman was not consummated. When the woman, there was no consummation. For the woman who gets married and the man divorces her, like I've seen cases like this. I performed a wedding in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania on a Saturday. That following Monday, the sister called me and said, the brother divorced me. But there was no consummation. What should I do, Brother Dawood? I said, you have no iddah. You're free to get married right now if you want. That's the only time there's no iddah. Every other time, there's an iddah. All right? Now. Right, we just said that. This is what we were just saying. Those 2 menstrual cycles is a penalty. It's not an iddah. He waits for that to go by, and then if he still wants to divorce her, now he pronounces it while she's clean and he can't have sex. Because if he has sex with her, he's going to do it again the wrong way. And he's got to have another 2 months. You see? And then wait. And then pronounce it correctly. Right. No, because that's what we're saying. The 2 menstrual cycles is not an iddah. It's not an iddah. It's a penalty. You understand? Alright, listen. The man pronounces divorce at a time he shouldn't pronounce it. What? Listen. The man pronounces a divorce at a time that he should not be pronouncing it. It's illegal. When she's on a menses, or when he's had sexual intercourse with her within that month, or he pronounces it, I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you. All 3 of those types of divorce are called talaqul bid'i. It's haram. Haram for the man to do that. You with me? Alright. As a penalty for any one of those 3, he has to go through 2 menstrual cycles. That's not iddah. That's a penalty. Right? For the wrong that he did. Right? After she goes through that, I still don't want her. I divorce you. But he has to do it now when those menses is over. He can't touch her. Because if he touches her sexually, and then he pronounces it, he's doing the same thing he just did before. Alright? So he has to leave her alone,
I thought about it. I still don't want you. All right? I divorce you. Now, the actual time, the actual iddah, that the pronouncement that comes as a part of this, make that particular, that second pronouncement, make a second divorce. It's second now. It's not connected to the first one as one. It's two now. Because the first one, which was bid'i, count, and the second one, which is sunni, count. Right? He only got one more left. This is the danger of men acting like women and pronouncing divorce at the drop of a hat. One moment of anger can cause a lifetime of regret. You follow me now? All right. That's why Allah put it in the hand of the man. وَالْرِجَالُ عَلَيْهِنَّ الدَّرَجَةِ The men have been given a degree over the woman. How's a man, Allah has given the man a degree over the woman, and he going to act like a woman? La ilaha illallah. How's he going to do that? That's why Allah didn't put it in their hands. Because they're the ones who would be so emotional. Get out of here, I divorce you. If it was in their hands, you'd be divorced every day. But the men act just like that. They act just like that. When Allah has placed the man, tashrifan, over the woman. He's given him a certain degree over the woman. And the man comes down from his level over the woman in that darjah and acts like a woman. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyi al-azim. This is a lesson for us, brothers. Allah has put this thing in our hands because we have the qawwama. Ar-rijalu qawwamuna 'ala an-nisaa. This thing is under our control. That's one of the reasons why the kuffar, in English, they call the man the husband. What is a husband? A farmer. That one who he is tilling the soil, he stands over it, because the soil doesn't take care of itself. Right? And they call the woman the bride. Why do they call the woman a bride? It's because of that bit that's in the horse's mouth, the bridle, because the man who's on it, he controls the movement of that horse. That's why that woman is called a bride. But you put the, let the bit put in your mouth, your emotions are being ridden like a horse, and you let yourself go uncontrollable, and you divorce at the drop of a hat. Or, in this case, at the drop of a turban or a kufi. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Time for salah, inshaAllah. We'll return. Now we only have 6 minutes left. Billah. Alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. Wa nusalli wa nusallim. على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحابته أجمعين وبعد I just like to mention something that the Sheikh says here. He says, this is Sheikh Murad Shukri حفظه الله from Jordan. He says, وَأَمَّا قَوْلُ الرَّجُلْ لِزَوْجَتِهِ أَنْتِ طَالِقْ بَيْنَ الْقَوْسَيْنِ ثَلَاثًا As for the man saying to his wife, you are divorced three times, وَأَنَّهُ يُحْسَبُ طَلْقَةً That it is considered one divorce. We're talking about now, this is going back to the menses and the time when they had sexual intercourse and then the three times. فَهُوَ مَا دَلَّ عَلَيْهِ دَلِيلُ فِي صَحِيحِ مُسْلِمِ And the evidence for this is pointed to from a narration in صحيح مسلم عن ابن عباس which is an أثر صحيح from Abdullah ibn Abbas أَنَّ أَبَى صَبْهَابَ أن أبا صهباء قال لابن عباس that أبو صهباء or صهباء said to Abdullah ibn Abbas ألم تعلم أن الثلاثة كانت تجعل واحدة على عهد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأبي بكر وصدرا من خلافة عمر قال نعم Don't you know or aren't you aware of the fact that the three pronouncement was considered as one divorce during the time of the Prophet, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Abu Bakr, and also in the beginning of the Khilafah of Umar, he said, Abdul Ibn Abbas, now. So this is the proof, right? وَهَذَا مَا يَقُولُ بِهِ جَمَاعَةٌ مِنْ أَهْلِ التَّحْقِيقِ وَمُجْتَهِ الْإِسْلَامِ مُجْتَهِدِ الْإِسْلَامِ And this is the opinion of a group of the people of knowledge of Islam, of tahqiq, and the people of ijtihad of Islam. كَعَطَاء like عَطَاء رضي الله عنه وَجَابِرِ بْنِ زَيْدٍ وَجَابِرِ بْنِ زَيْدٍ وَبَعْدَ مَشَيْخِ الْأَنْبَلُسِ And some of the people, the scholars of Spain of that time, كَإِبْنِ وَضَّاحٍ وَجَمَاعَةٍ Like Ibn Waddah from Al-Andalus, Spain, and a group from there, وكذلك الشيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية also and الشيخ ابن القيم that it was considered one divorce if you need to pronounce it three times. The other thing that we wanted to mention, ثم الصحيح وقوع الطلاق إذا كانت حائضا أو جامعها في ذاك الطهر. That it is correct that the talaq occurs when she is on her menses or he has sexual intercourse with her at a time of purity. لأن الروايات التي جاءت عن ابن عمر الأرجح فيها والأقوى أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم احتسبها طلقة. That the narrations which have occurred from Abdullah ibn Umar رضي الله تعالى عنها رضي الله تعالى عنه وأبي عن أبيه on may Allah be pleased with his father, the narrations which have occurred from him are the most strongest of opinions and they're the most weightiest. That the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم considered that woman being one, having one divorce. وهو الأرجح الثابت في صحيح مسلم. And this is the confirmed weightiest of the opinions which occurs in the hadith in Sahih Muslim. عن نافع عن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه وكذلك سالم بن عبد الله بن عمر عن ابن عمر عند البخاري ومسلم ويونس بن جبير في رواية البخاري ومسلم أيضا وقد صرح وصرح بها في طرق أخرى خارج الصحيحين أعني رواية يونس بن جبير ولشيخنا الشيخ ناصر الدين الألباني حفظهم الله بحث مفصل في كتابه إرواء الغليل فليراجع. And then to the end of the statement that it is considered also one divorce. All of this is considered one divorce and the narration is in al-Bukhari and Muslim and there are other statements outside of the Kharij al-Sahihain that there are other narrations outside of Bukhari and Muslim and one of the riwayas is on the riwaya the narration of Yunus ibn Jubair. And he says that the Sheikh, our Sheikh Nasruddin al-Albani, made a detailed explanation of this in his book called Irwa'ul Ghalil to prove that this divorce, if a man has divorced his wife on her menses, or he has sexual intercourse with her during a time of purity, and he pronounced divorce, that it is considered one divorce. And Allah Jalla Jalaluhu A'lam. And Allah knows best. Anybody? Anything to say? And divorce them, and the iddah means divorce them so that they can enter into the waiting period. And Allah knows this. Divorce them so that they will be in, so they can enter into their iddah, and then Allah says, "Awa ahsul iddah," and then count it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Naam, anyone else? Naam. Right. No. It's not done like that. No. The man, the way that it is legally done. You talking about legally or illegally? Legally. The way that it is legally done is that the man pronounces divorce on his wife in the manner that she understands this divorce. He does it when she's not on her menses and when he hasn't been intimate with her and he can't pronounce it more than once at one time. He can't say, I divorce you, 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 I divorce you. He can't do it like this. He has to say when she's not on her menses and he hasn't slept with her. Slept with her meaning sex. We have to make that clear because some brothers may think that when they're saying slept with her, meaning he just slept in the bed with her. No. And he hasn't had sexual intercourse with her. He says one time in a language that she understands, in Tibet or Polynesian, right? Means, I divorce you. Once that happens, she has a menses. Not because of the word that he said, but she will eventually have a menses, inshallah. Right? That goes through. Right? They're in the house. Everything is still normal except for sexual intercourse. There's no sex with her now, because she's divorced and married at the same time. She's in suspended marriage. She's in the iddah. Right? That one menstrual cycle goes by. She becomes clean. He's not touching her. The second menstrual cycle comes by. No, there's no statement, huh? The second menstrual cycle comes by. He doesn't say anything. He's already said that abortion. That's it. That's it. There's no more time. He's just waiting for the third menstrual cycle to end. No, he can't pronounce it more than once at one time. That's, you sure you're clear with that? Okay. Does anyone else that have anything they want to... No. No. Once he pronounces it one time, there's no more statements from him pertaining to divorce. That one time carries three menstrual cycles or 3 months. That's it. There's no more pronouncements within that 3 month period. There's no wait for the time to go by, he comes clean, he pronounces it again. Wait for that time to come by, go by, he pronounces. No. It's one time. She can't have it sexually anyway. They're divorced. The first time what? I don't understand. Right, he pronounced divorce. She goes to the idda. If he wants to approach her, I'm taking you back. Then it's over. She can't not want. We just said in the beginning of the class that the marriage and the divorce and the revocation is in the hands of who? She can't refuse. No, that's not what he's saying. He's not saying that. She doesn't want what? He can't have sex with her anyway. She's divorced. If he wants to approach her, he approaches her. He takes her out of the idda by saying, I'm taking you back. And then he has sex with her. That's his wife. It's over. But it still counted as one divorce. She can't refuse him. No woman can refuse her husband sex. How can she do that? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, even if she's at the oven baking bread. Another narration says, even if she's giving birth, she's at that thing where the women have babies. And he comes, she can't refuse him. And if she does, the angels curse her until the morning. Right, so how can she refuse him? She can't refuse him. You clear? No. لكن كنت مبتسما أنت أن إذا قلت شيء أنا تبتسم أنت مني فكذلك تضحك. نعم تفضل. هل تدري أي شيء؟ إذا طلقتها أنت وطلقتها البينونة الكبرى الصغرى تستطيع أن تعود ولو سنة. إذا لم تتزوج هي من آخر نعم وصارت عازبة هي نعم مضت سنتان وأنت تريد أن تعود إليها ولم تتزوج هي تقصد هذا؟ نعم يجوز بعقد صحيح نكاح صحيح والمهر كذلك والشاهدين العدلين.
يعني
في ذهنه. أنت تقصد بأن وقع عليه الشك والريب. نعم نعم طبعا، لأنه ليست بينونة كبرى، هذا بينونة صغرى. يجوز الرجوع، يجوز في طلقة الأولى وطلقة الثانية، يعني في بينونة الصغرى يجوز ورجوع يجوز، ولا خلاف في ذلك. ولو بمئة قرن. فهمتني؟ جيد، الله يبارك فيك. اوكي، يعني ثاني يوم Is it Islamically correct to tell your son to divorce his wife? If your son doesn't divorce her, he's committing a sin. If the reason that you're telling him to divorce her is from Islam, you just can't tell him to divorce her because she's Guyanese and he's black. Or she's black and he's Guyanese. Or he's Pakistani and she's black. Or vice versa. Right? She's Palestinian, he's Jordanian. I don't want you to be married to him because of their nationality or their ethnic background. No. But if it's Islamic, and the proof is made clear, and you tell your son to divorce her, you have to divorce her. He has to divorce her. There's a hadith in Mishkat al-Masabih. You can find this. Also in the Musnad Imam Ahmed, you find some hadith pertaining to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's the companions telling their sons to divorce a woman and them obeying. In fact, Abdullah ibn Umar, I believe, was one of them. He says, I don't want to do it. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if the hadith is authentic, told him, obey your father. And he obeyed them and he divorced them. And we're talking about for Islamic reasons. I just said, Islamic. Yeah, I said it has to be for Islam. But it has to be proven too. Yeah, definitely there has to be a condition. Because there are some times when people want people to get a divorce, like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the meaning of it is لا تسأل المرأة الطلاق من زوجها لتستفرغ صفحتها لتنكح فإن قدر لها فإن لها قدر لها something like this. أو كما قاله صلى الله عليه وسلم that let no woman ask for divorce from her husband to try to get that let no woman ask so that her husband will and the word is لتستفرغ صفحتها. It means to empty out her bowl. Literally it means to empty out her bowl. Let no woman try to get her husband to divorce his wife so that she can take his place. That's what it means. Whatever is going to be decreed, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says, she's going to get. فإن قدر لها فإن لها. Something like this. Whatever it was decreed for her, she's going to get it. And women do this. Women will try to get the man to divorce. His wife, he has a problem with getting another wife. So she knows that. He'll try to get the brother to divorce her husband to divorce her so she can take her place. The Prophet called this emptying out the bowl. To empty out the bowl so she can get in the bowl. The other types of divorce of joking and mistake, they count under conditions. Like the divorce of joke, it counts under conditions. This is why we're not supposed to joke. Like for the man says to the woman, and he's joking, if you don't cut it out, girl,
You know, hey, I'm going to give you that pink slip. And in fact, for instance, there's one called Talaq al-Mu'allaq. Talaq al-Mu'allaq. Because you have a munjaz and mu'allaq. Talaq al-Mu'allaq is a pendant type of divorce. That's the type of divorce where it's conditional. Something has to happen, even though the statement is not being mentioned right then. A statement is made prior to the event happening. For instance, if you, and I had a case like this, that's why I'm using this example. The brother said to his wife, and they're divorced to this day, by the way, if you go through that second iron gate in front of the house, you're divorced. Or a man says, if a plane flies over the house right now, you're divorced. Yeah. Whether he was joking or not. If he does this, and the plane flies over the house, or she goes to that iron gate, it's a divorce. As for talaq al-ghadban, the talaq of anger, this only counts when the man has been close to temporary insanity or something like this. A man can't say, I was angry, and it counts. Or it doesn't count. No, it counts. Because in most cases, a man's going to pronounce divorce on his wife when he's angry. He's not going to be, you know, come in the house, you know, salam alaikum, wa alaikum salam. How you doing, my dear wife? Oh, by the way, I love you. You're divorced. I mean, you know, nobody does it like that. He's usually, didn't I tell you this? I love you're divorced. So the brothers can't use that excuse. And we mentioned this the other day, a couple of weeks back in the Arabic class, that talaq al-ghadban is when he's close to like being insane. Or he's like, you know, he's lost consciousness. He doesn't really know what's going on. He shot everybody in the house, and the cat, and the parakeet, looked in the fish tank, killed all the fish, and then after it was all over, and during that,